Hey everybody, welcome back to Q-Tips. We are the Video Store Junkies, and we are back once again to bring you a few selections to watch during the month of April. And we're going to get right into it, and I will throw this to Paul.
Oh, why, thank you, Renee. So, I'm true crime is really popular right now, and I really don't like true crime things. It makes me feel just kind of gross and icky. But that said, speaking of gross and icky, this one really kind of, I end up watching it and I could not turn away. I don't think I learned anything new. I don't think I was really enlightened in any way at all, but I couldn't stop watching. And it's Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV on Max. Mm. Oh yeah. I mean, granted, okay, again, no surprises there. What? Kids and show business are abused? Yep. Nickelodeon was a terrible place to work? Yep. Oh, yeah. Dan Schneider was a piece of shit? Yeah, pretty much. But, and again, there's not a lot of really comes out in this. There's a couple bits in terms of, like, specifics on some people, but that's already hit the news anyway. So, in terms of who was abused, but it was fascinating because when Shelly and I started dating, we would watch Nickelodeon back in like the late 80s. And then of course, when we had kids, Nickelodeon was on all the time. And so a lot of the stuff, you know, we watched these kids, I mean, Drake and Josh was on all the time and things like this. And so, and then you go back and go, oh, wow. Oh, it was pretty much a hellhole for anyone who worked there. So this docuseries on Max, Quiet on the Set, it's four episodes. And it's a lot of interviews directly with the former child stars, now older, or other people who worked there. And again, you're not really probably going to, if you've been following, you know, Nickelodeon and Dan Schneider and the other people who there were a couple other people who were actually convicted of pedophilia. He never was even charged with anything or even. And there's no real information about that comes out with him. He's just basically, he's a piece of garbage. But I could not look away. Oh, my God. I felt so slimy afterwards. I felt gross and icky. So I feel like I should spread this so other people will feel gross and icky, too. So if you want to feel gross and icky and hear about how some of your favorite childhood stars were horribly abused or the terrible working conditions there, watch Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV on Max. And speaking of people who love children, I'll pass this to Renee.
Nah!
not in that way. I just want to clarify. I would like to clarify.
I'm kind of glad that you passed it to Renee and not Bill or I, because
there was a sarcasm, crazy, you know, slash S after that, and definitely didn't mean it in that way either. So let's start that again. Speaking of people who are nice and not terrible, I'll pass this to Renee.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, yeah. So my suggestion is a movie that you should watch after you watch Paul's suggestion, because it will make you feel a lot better. This is about a group of friends that decide to go camping. And, you know, when there's always in a group of friends, there's always someone, maybe somebody a little bit like us, who has seen a lot of horror movies. And they just know, like, you hear a noise, maybe you shouldn't go investigate it, at least not alone. You see something outside, again, take someone with you. Don't wander off in the woods at night alone. You know, certain things you just shouldn't do. So this is a very reminiscent type of story about a fella named Mike and all his friends that are camping. And maybe Mike was right. Maybe Mike wasn't right. Anyhow, this movie is called There's Nothing Out There. And it is from 1991. And it is just really silly, but it's a lot of fun. And this character, Mike, is just great. And there's a lot of naked ladies. I'm sorry. They just happen to pop up in all the movies I watch, apparently. So it's really fun. It's called There's Nothing Out There. And you can watch that on Tubi and Amazon and Fubo.
And I want to interject. Yay. But that was then you said the naked ladies, and it sounded like I was going, yay for the naked ladies. I mean, nothing wrong with that. But I second it.
I'm going to edit out that part. So all people hear is just say, yay to naked ladies.
Yay for the naked ladies.
Stretch it out. Stretch out the yay so it takes like a minute.
Yeah. Like, what's her name? Screaming in Demonoid. God, that scene is so friggin' funny to me. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, so on that note, I'll pass it to you, Bill.
Oh, well, thank you. Hey, I just want to say, people are always shocked when stuff like this Nickelodeon thing comes out. Like, why do pedophiles show up where there's, like, students and altar boys and child actors? And it's like, John Dillinger put it best. Why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money is.
It's not surprising. It honestly isn't.
It's why conventions need to be real careful about, because, you know, the kind of conventions we like to go to, by their very nature, attract a certain oddball collection of people, and that's good because this might be the only thing where they're not really oddballs. But it also has the potential to attract some evil oddballs who can get away with it because, like, oh no, I'm just playing a character. Yeah, or whatever. Mm. Anyway, so my first film. Now, I'm not feeling great today, by the way. So if I don't make a lot of sense, it's just like any other day. I heard bad things about this movie, and I told Sean I heard bad things about this movie. She looked at me like, you know, while you were out gallivanting at a convention, I saw this movie. It was fine. So, of course, had to sit and watch it, and I just want to say I was right. You know, these things are very subjective. And the movie I'm talking about is Damsel, starring everybody's favorite child actress who now has amazingly gone from, like, the teens to the 30s. I don't know how she did it. Bobby, Carol, Ted, Alice, and Brown. She's Millie Bobby Brown. Yeah. It's Damsel. It's Damsel, and it's set in an ancient time when there were dragons and castles, and you're like, wow, Damsel? Like Damsel in Distress? That's it. Seems a little out of sorts. Oh, don't worry. In the first 10 seconds of the movie, they tell you, oh, this isn't one of those movies. This is hard cutting edge if it was 15 years ago. Yeah, she's a damsel who doesn't get in distress. She doesn't take any shit. She's a girl boss all the way. This movie, I felt like it was written by ChatGPT. Now, the guy who wrote this has actually written a lot of really good movies that never got made into movies. And the sequel to Clash of the Titans that I don't even remember the name. And one of the Fast X movies, whatever. He hasn't had a lot of good stuff, and this is not one of them, although it'll probably do fine. It reads like it was written by ChatGPT, but if they had done it, they would have yanked the cord just like they did with the Google AI and said, oh, no, this is wrong. Because it's awful. I don't even know where to begin. I'm just going to pick a few select things. The basic thing is, she is the daughter of some lord, a poor region. You can tell because it opens with the save the cat moment that she and her sister, although they are kind of like the elite in this town, they are cutting up firewood for the poor people. There's not a tree to be seen, nothing but stone. Okay? And everyone's on the brink of starvation, but we like these people because they cut wood for poor people. So they can, I don't know, cook the non-existent food they don't have. She gets an offer to marry the prince of the one halfway decent place in this mythical place and go off there. She's not happy about it, but what are you going to do? It's the Middle Ages and you're a woman. So they get there and everything, you just know this whole thing is sketchy as all hell. And sure enough, it turns out that they sacrifice her to a dragon because many, many years ago, and it is the actual opening of the movie, we see a bunch of knights go and attack a dragon and they're predictably killed because apparently they have no idea how dragons work. Like, yeah, you're going to kill a fire-breathing animal wearing a clanky suit, getting up close enough to stab him in the heart with a sword. Ain't going to happen. It turns out that for the last 100 years, so this has been going on for centuries. I want to emphasize that because I will get back to that. They marry these girls. They have to sacrifice 3 princesses every 10 years. Somehow they've gotten away with this for 100 years. No one ever figures out that being married into the royal family here is a death sentence. They cut their hands and they mix it with the blood of the prince, and that the dragon can smell the royal blood. What? The royal blood mixed with their blood and thinks that it hasn't been duped, and then it tortures and kills these innocent girls. Tortures and kills. Remember those words. And again, this dragon has such a great sense of smell. It can smell royal blood. What is royal blood? I mean, really, what? Hello? I thought we were progressive here. Anyway, so she gets dumped down there and she survives. It becomes Die Hard with a dragon. despite the fact that it looked like she could barely cut the wood, she is later able to do things like climb a rope with just her arm strength. But, you know, adrenaline's a hell of a drug. I'll give them that. The dragon, which could smell royal blood, cannot smell the fact that she is hiding behind a rock 10 feet away from her. Now, I will say this. I like the dragon. The dragon's a cool design, different from the usual dragon designs. Four-legged, I kind of like that. It's more of a traditional old-school dragon. They don't really do much anymore. The voice acting on the dragon is excellent, and I want to give credit to that person. But I can't, because they don't have anything listed here. Shora Agash Dashul. Oh, God, I'm just totally mangling this person's name. Agdashlu. Anyway, she's fantastic. Yeah, the dragon's a woman. Remember that. That's going to come in handy, too. Okay. I couldn't give a rat's ass about anything that's going on here. Every time I thought, well, they were doing something interesting, like the prince, this girl gets burned, pretty badly burned, but it's okay because there are magic glow worms that you rub on you and they heal your wounds. So, okay, that kind of takes away any real, yeah. The dragon, which seems very intelligent, is stupid. It really makes, you know, she at some point the girl finds like the room where all the other princesses have died and scrawled their names down. And it's, you know, it's just a rainbow coalition of different people who have been tortured and murdered by this evil dragon. All right. All right. Now, I'm going to give away the ending of this movie. So spoiler alert, if you want to go see this thing, girl reveals to the dragon that it's been duped. The innocent women that it had been killing were not the innocent women it thought. They were even more innocent. They weren't even from this royal line. And the dragon doesn't believe it, but anyway, she heals the dragon. It ends with her taking the dragon back to the castle and killing all the people there. And then the end, the happy ending of the movie, is she is on a ship running off to join Arya from Game of Thrones to go explore the world, which she always wanted to do. And she's bringing her dragon, her evil child murdering dragon. And we, the viewer, are supposed to feel good about this. This is a happy ending. I'm like, what moral universe do you live in where this dragon has a leg to stand on? As far as having been wrong, the king from the beginning killed her children. And as a penance, she kills him? No, of course not. No, she says he must kill his daughters. Ooh, that's kind of hardcore, but war is hell, and I get that. No. She's going to keep this going forever. Long after that guy has turned to dust, she is murdering every 10 years, three completely innocent people, completely innocent princesses. And somehow she gets upset when she finds out, oh, these innocent princesses were just like married into the family, as princesses often do. That in no way mitigates the crime of this evil creature. This thing deserves to die. This is the problem I have with these movies. Everyone now, there is no such thing as a villain. No such thing as a villain. Mm-hmm. Maleficent, she had reason to be upset. Cruella de Vil, Dalmatians killed her mom. Like, holy shit, if God forbid one of my family members was devoured by a bear and I devoted the rest of my life to killing bears, all right, when they arrest me at the zoo, no one's going to feel bad for me. No one's going to say, well, you know, I mean, a bear did kill his children. Well, it wasn't that bear. It wasn't even a polar bear. What the hell is wrong with you? Yeah, I despise this movie. I tried to find something to like it, so, you know, because my wife likes it, and but the more maybe I went in with a bad attitude. I probably went in with the attitude of I want this to suck, but that movie delivered in spades. And listen, I actually like Millie Bobby Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, Gifted, and Brown. I liked her in Stranger Things, but there's a weird thing about this. She's gone from being like a little kid briefly, like you blinked your eyes and she was a teenager. And in this movie, they really make her look like she's in her 30s. And I just wonder, you know, if you're a kid actress, do you just want to get away from that so badly? Not just because of all the horrible Nickelodeon type things that can happen, though I would not shock me at all, you know, her being the underage actress I imagine there was a lot of unpleasantness that was at least approached, hopefully not ever finished.
Great.
She just seems like she's trying to be older than she is. She looks like she's in her 30s, I thought. No, I was just a little shocked. And she produced this movie, so she had okay on everything here. This is a terrible fantasy. The CGI is inconsistent. The dragon looks pretty good, but it's got some things that just take you out of the movie, and they'll be like, Bill, it's a fantasy. Why are you upset that Robin Wright, who, God help her, is in this movie, was in a much better fantasy movie, in the end, gets burned alive by the dragon, and we get to watch her as her golden crown melts on her non-burning face? Which is not the way fire works. Ever. But it's dragon fire, so maybe it's magic. The dragon got burned by her own fire. I couldn't figure that out, even. It's okay.
Maybe Robin Wright had that magic salve on her face, so kept her face from burning while the crown melted.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
See?
Yeah, you should have written this movie. Anyone should have. Oh. You know, I keep picking on Millie and everything because that three name thing always gets me, you know? It's like the only reason you should have three, it's not like there's a Millie Brown actress that anyone would mistake for her, so she had to stick. I understand when you got to stick that in there, but three names should really be reserved for assassins, you know,
and serial killers.
James Earl Ray, Lynette Squeaky Fromm, John Wilkes Booth, Lee Harvey Oswald, John Hinckley Jr., who was a real disgrace to the family of juniors. You know, Jada Pinkett Smith. I mean, people who have earned the right to go down in history, because you want to make sure, if you know, your name might be Lee Oswald, and they're like, Lee Oswald, are you the guy who shot the president? Like, yeah, I'm the guy who shot the president. That's why I'm walking into this bait store to you know, to pay for some gas. So no, that was Lee Harvey Oswald. I'm Lee Kevin Oswald. It's like, oh, on your way. So yeah, I understand why they need to have friends, you know. Anyway, that's my rant. And avoid this movie like the plague. And or see it and disagree with me and tell me it was great. I throw this to who has not gone yet. It would be someone who's always great, Zach.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Bill. Once again, this is an episode of Quickie Q-Tips. We're trying to sort of just fly right through these. that's fine. You're sick. You have an excuse. I have a theme this week. My theme this week is James Wan and Lee Whannell are the unheralded action directors of our day. And if you know anything about movies, you probably recognize these names. These guys have done a bunch of horror movies. They, they started out doing the Saw movies. They went on to produce / direct movies like The Conjuring. Insidious. Lots of other horror movies. However, even though you may be familiar with their horror work, you may not be familiar with their action work. So the first movie I have to recommend is a horror movie, but it also has a really, really great action sequence. I don't know if I'd actually say that it's a great horror movie, but it's maybe a better action movie than a horror movie. I'm, of course, talking about 2021's Malignant, which is about a woman who... Well, she's just trying to live her life. She's pregnant. She's happily married, or actually maybe not, because something happens that starts to trigger these visions. She starts having visions of these violent murders, and she's not sure what's going on. She's not sure how these murders are connected to her. And let's just say that there is. There's something. There's a twist here that's pretty goofy. If you're a fan of the Tales from the Crypt series, there's actually an episode of Tales from the Crypt that this basically just rips off, which means it was probably a Tales from the Crypt comic at one point. But whatever. This is thoroughly a B movie. It's very goofy. All the acting is over the top. It's kind of like a. I think James Wan, I mean, he can make a good horror movie when he wants to. It kind of felt like he wanted to make a B-movie, and that's what he made. But it also culminates in one of the greatest action scenes of the last couple of years. So sit down, you know, make yourself a big old bowl of popcorn and watch Malignant on Netflix or Max. And speaking of people that have I don't really have a good transition for
the
this
action
one.
Scenes?
Yeah, speaking of unheralded action directors, I will pass this over to Paul.
Why, thank you, Zach. Well, for my second pick, I want to go back to something Bill said, that, you know, with bad guys just can't be bad, right? We don't have any, like you were saying, Bill, didn't you say they were just, we just can't really have just evil people. Well, you'll like my choice. Because this is actually a series of films. I've only seen the first one, but I'd heard of this character before, had never watched it. And then, this weekend, my wife and I were watching a, Filipino horror film from 1964. This is not what I'm recommending because it's not streaming anywhere, but it was called The Blood Drinkers. It was the first color film in the color horror film in the Philippines. Though half the film is just tinted, but it was pretty cool. But we had, after that, we followed up with another foreign horror film from 1964, and that is At Midnight, I'll Take Your Soul from Brazil. And that is when the character of Coffin Joe first shows up. And Coffin Joe is Brazil's sort of like, as the Wikipedia put it, he's like Brazil's equivalent of Freddy Krueger. He is this horror character that has been, there's been, I guess, like three main films, but he's been in a total like 10 films. He was a horror host. He did showed up on a bunch of other crap, and he is much beloved in Brazil. He's created by writer, director, actor. He played him, Jose Mojica Marins. And in 1964, he's like, you know, Brazil doesn't have any of their own horror movies. And so he created this character. And what's interesting is Coffin Joe himself is not really supernatural. He's at least in the first film, he's an undertaker. But he is an utter, utter, unredeemable piece of shit. And he doesn't even hide the fact that he is an utter, unredeemable piece of shit. Completely unlikable. Terrible, terrible, terrible human being. Name the sin, and he's going to commit it, especially in this movie. I mean, the man is even eating lamb on Holy Friday in front of the priest, just to spite him. Which, hey, you know, which is appropriate, because Holy Friday's coming up this Friday. So, grab yourself some lamb and go over to Shudder, which is where, actually, it's not just playing on Shudder. It's also playing on AMC Plus and the Arrow Player. And it's At Midnight, I'll Take Your Soul. It's the first of the Coffin Joe movies, and he is unredeemable piece of shit, but it's so much fun to watch and has some great, just like atmosphere to it. I mean, it starts with a witch woman telling you, don't watch this movie. This movie's terrible. Get away. You say, oh, it's too late. You're already watching it. You know, pardon? Uh-oh. Am I gone?
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay. Okay. So he says something. Anyway, yeah, no, it was really fun. They have the two other main Coffin Joe movies on Shudder, but this is the first one I watched. But At Midnight, I'll Take Your Soul. And like I said, it's the first time I saw it. I've heard so many things about him. And it's just this amazing character, because he's an undertaker who's a piece of garbage. Absolute piece of garbage. And needless to say, he gets his just desserts, but apparently they weren't two just desserts, because he made it back for two more movies and like seven other movies and TV shows and God knows what else and comic books and, you know. So there you go. So Coffin Joe, At Midnight, I'll Take Your Soul on Shudder. But speaking of somebody who's not a piece of shit, I'll pass this to Renee.
Thank you.
Yeah, was that a better transition?
Yeah,
I tried.
That's awesome. Really, yeah. So I liked it. Good. Oh, and that's, you know, very actually that could help describe also the movie that I'm going to suggest, because I mean it is not a piece of shit. It's not great, but it's not terrible. It's just very unique. Okay, so this movie. It's about an astronaut named Steve, and he survived a terrible accident. And unfortunately, unfortunately, he woke up in the hospital and he was melting. And he's being taken care of by his friend, Dr. Ted Nelson. And things are just not going well for Steve. Poor Steve. He's just really going through it. And this movie is called The Incredible Melting Man.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this movie sounds incredible.
Okay. So, all right, listen. It's not good, but it's not, like, you know, it's just so different. And there's some shots. Oh, man, I wish I had taken a clip. I was trying to find this so I could, like, grab this clip for you guys of some dialogue where they're like, hey, Steve escaped from the lab. Oh, do we have any crackers?
Steve escaped.
Oh, God. What are you going to do?
Oh, did you get some crackers? I told you yesterday that we needed some crackers.
Oh, I forgot. See, I knew there was something. You know, there's a pad right by the phone, though. You could write it down, too. Ted, what about Steve?
So, we don't have any crackers?
Ted, Steve.
Steve? I've got to go out and find Steve.
Why you?
Because nobody else is supposed to know. Not even you, so please don't forget that fact when the general gets here. That's all I'd need.
How are you going to find him?
I can use the Geiger counter. I can follow his trail with it.
Geiger counter? You mean he's radioactive?
Just a little bit.
Just a little?
The shots are really bizarre, like full on, like right in somebody's face, just when they're having a regular conversation. It's just so strange. But the makeup on the melting man is great. It really is nice and goopy and melty. Wow. But such an odd movie. And I think that people should watch it just to watch it and just capture the oddness of it and about how a man gets really mad when his boss hangs up on him twice. So bizarre. Anywho, this movie is called The Incredible Melting Man, and you can, of course, watch it on my favorite streaming platform, Tubi. And I will pass this to Bill.
That is, okay, that movie, it's not good, but it's got Rick Baker makeup and definitely has some good stuff. Just, they apparently thought that was going to be a series or something because they advertised it as the most incredible original, you know, monster of blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I don't know. So my next movie, I'm about to run out of battery, so they're going to shut me up one way or another. Avatar, The Way of Water. And is there any series that is more successful and less loved than the Avatar series? I mean, these movies make billions of dollars. Avatar, Way of Water is the third most successful movie of all time, unadjusted for inflation, but even adjusted, it made over $2 billion. And yet we go to see them, and we enjoy them, and then we never give them another thought. So I was really convinced this movie was going to bomb. Like many people, I bet against James Cameron. Like everyone who bets against James Cameron, I would lose that bet. If you like the first one, you'd like the second one. Because it's the same movie with the same actors. And it allows James Cameron to indulge his fetish for almost killing his actors in water. You know, I thought, I think Cameron put all of his money into developing the CGI so that he could do underwater movies without killing his actors, because he came real close in The Abyss. I could just imagine Ed Harris somewhere looking at this like, where the hell was all this AI when he was telling me, hold your breath for another 4 minutes? But no, apparently all the actors in this movie had to act, you know, do the motion capture underwater. And they claim that Kate Winslet broke Tom Cruise's record for being underwater the longest, that he held his breath for 6 minutes in one of the Mission Impossible movies. She held her breath for over 7 minutes in this movie. And I would call 100% horseshit on that, but Kate Winslet's like one of my favorite actresses. So yeah, she's awesome. She could do it.
Well, apparently they were breathing they were using like pure oxygen or something, which can extend your.
Yeah. Yeah. They did a bunch of your time. 7 minutes is a honking long time. Try to hold your breath for 1 minute sitting in a chair. It's got beautiful, absolutely gorgeous effects. I wish I'd seen it in 3D. I'm sure it was absolutely lovely. Nobody dies in these movies. Well, that's not true. there is one person who dies in this movie. If you can't figure out which of the characters is going to die in this movie, you do not know your script writing 101. It's so obvious. I said it to Shauna as I was watching it, and she's like, why would you say that? Why? What makes you think that? She had already seen the movie. So she always thinks that I like watch these movies when I'm not with her, and then I secretly pretend to know what's going to happen. But it's because so obvious. You know what's going to happen. There's no shocks in this movie. There's only one thing that really took me out of it, and that's that a real fundamental plot point in this is that the evil humans, and the humans are always evil in these movies, just to ramp up the evil a bit more, they hunt whales. They hunt Avatar's version of whales that are even smarter than our whales, I guess, although they don't seem to know how to take on these ships, because they've got this magic fluid in them. Okay, so they got rid of unobtainium. They were tired of everyone making fun of that. Now they're going after magic juice that lives in the brains of these whales that, you know, makes people immortal. And that's a better plot. It seems it's awfully lucky. I mean, they just discovered this planet, and I guess at some point someone like, I wonder what happens if we take the brain juice from a whale and stick it into someone. Whoa, immortality. Yeah, well, it was a lucky break they found that. And so, you know, you get a whole lot of this stuff with Eric, because I'm looking at this like, oh my God, they're spending like $100 million to kill a whale. But I guess that would be worth something. Yes. So this movie comes out really hard against whaling. And I'm like, I don't know, you know, is that really, I think we all agree on that. Like the only people still are okay with whaling are the Japanese and indigenous people, the people who are like the heroes of this movie. The only whalers you're going to be able to stop on Earth now is to go out to like an Inuit community where they are allowed to hunt whales, even though everyone else is not allowed to it on account of the fact that, you know, the rest of the world tried to wipe them out and came real close to doing it. So we throw them this little shekel, yeah, you can kill whales. Yeah. So if you know, you got that. The Avatar movies make zero sense at all. They're trying to kill these primitive people who use bow and arrows. Yeah, they're tall. They're bow and arrows. They could nuke them from orbit. And in fact, that's kind of the opening of the movie. They do kind of like the place that the Avatar movie, that the setting for the last one, they just come down and say, yeah, we're setting everything on fire. Screw you. Get out of here. And it works. So I don't know why it doesn't work when they go to the islands. It's like, I think the burning them from orbit is still a viable option. But we're going to get two or three more of these, so somehow it's never going to occur to them. And look, you know what you're getting with an Avatar movie. It's fun. It's good. It's nice seeing some of the characters come back, even the ones who are dead. And if you're surprised by anything that happens in this movie, God bless you, you sweet summer child. But hey, it's a popcorn movie. Hey, make a big bag of popcorn, because I think, I'm guessing here, it was 3.5 hours long or something. 192 minutes. Oh my God, I was being sarcastic. 192 minutes is pretty darn close to 3.5 hours.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oof. If you're seeing this in a theater, I guess I'm sure they'll re-release it. Don't get the big gulp of root beer. That would be a strategic error. Someone who always knows how to take care of himself, whether it's, you know, rain, snow, or the sunshiny sun, Zach.
Oh, thanks. I don't quite understand that segue, but I'll take it. So if you want to,
I'm on.
If you, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Never mind. If you want to watch a movie that costs like $400 million, yeah, you can go watch Avatar. If you want to watch a science fiction movie that probably cost about as much as Avatar spent on craft services in 1 week, you can check out my second recommendation. I should mention, by the way, my first recommendation was written and directed by James Wan. My second recommendation is the Lee Whannell installment in this series of mine, because I am talking about 2018's Upgrade, which is about a guy who he gets mugged and he gets beaten up real bad and he gets paralyzed. And, you know, life's pretty bad until a billionaire techno genius comes to him with an offer. We can put an artificial intelligence into your brain that will control your body and give you the use of your limbs back. And of course, he says yes. Little does he know that this AI is basically programmed to protect him at all costs which turns him into a kung fu killing machine. And I got to say, once again, I can't really say anything about Malignant without spoiling the action scenes. And this one I can because it's part of the plot. But so the star of this movie, Logan Marshall Green, I give him huge, huge props for this movie because the fight scenes in this movie, because the premise is basically this AI is kind of hijacking his body to fight. And the fight scenes are really well done, really well choreographed, really fast, really intricate. But he basically... the AI is just using his body as a puppet, and so he's basically totally emotionless, or sometimes he's like talking to the AI trying to tell it to stop, so he's not showing really any like exertion or any emotion as he's performing these incredible fight scenes. So I really liked it just because it was kind of an original premise for an action film. Probably a better film overall than Malignant. It's still kind of a B movie, but I'd say it probably holds up better just end to end. But yeah, so Upgrade is playing on Max, and I think that's the last recommendation of the week.
Ta-da!
Yay!
Can you sing us out?
Yeah, our mini cast took 47 minutes. Who's to blame?
Renee.
Dang. Jeez,
Renee. So talky.
Yeah.
Magnificent. You've never seen anything till you've seen the sun through the rings of Saturn.
Astronaut Stephen West was returning from outer space. But something terrible had happened.
Remember now, his mind is so completely decomposed.
We've got to find him.
He's going to need human cells to live on.
Stephen West had turned into the incredible melting man.
And the more he kills, the longer he's going to live.
Steve!
He seems to be getting stronger as he melts.
The incredible melting man is the first new horror creature. Come prepared.